It's Tuesday. Get in here. You know what it is. It's the Parish of the Patriots. Glad to be back with you this week. Time flies when you're having fun. You know, time flies so much. We're on the 161st installment. I hope that's not a sign of things to come. If you're new around these parts, we do have a Christian specific segment about the halfway mark of the show. You'll want to stick around for that. You might think, I don't want to stick around for that, but you're going to regret it if you don't. It's good stuff. It's not probably anything like what you're thinking. We've got a shill for money here. This is the part where I do pass around the offering plate at the very beginning. We are supported by the voluntary support of you, the listeners. If you get something out of the show, drop a little something in the plate. You can find that information at the bottom of the description page here on Radio Albion. Got snail mail, got Bitcoin, got Monero. Got the email address down there. Drop your note. If you got a weirdo cryptocurrency, I probably can get you an address for that without any problem. So drop me an email. I'll do my best to get you an address for that. And with that having been said, let's hit the listener supporter mailbag real quick as we head off into this week's discussion. Hi, Grandpa. Let's see here. Running errands on this. One of my precious days off. Hope all is well. Best wishes from Jackie. And yeah, you know, it's as well as could be. But I did have an appointment. Cancer update. We'll go ahead and get that out of the way. I had an appointment last week. With this new oncologist I got to go see now. And they're going to do some more scans and some more tests. See if I've got tumors trying to lurk up anywhere. Assuming that I don't, you would think I'm done. But no. Such is not the case. I don't got tumor. I'm not done. I'm going to have to do scans like every 3 months or something like that. You know, because they said I have like with the type of tumor and the stage it was in and whatnot. I have like, even though everything looks good, I have like a 15% chance of it coming back. And they said if it comes back, it comes back like on my organs and stuff. And not like it's going to come back up on the skin. Or something. So nice stuff. But yeah, I mean, so far so good. So at some point in time, they're going to do some more testing. Also, my zombie skin, the rotting flesh that I had from where I was operated on, it finally came off, which now it means I have a gaping hole. But that's okay because it means 90% of the horrible, nasty smell from my own rotting flesh is gone now. And that is definitely a life upgrade for me. See, it doesn't take much for me. If I don't smell like the Walking Dead, that is a life upgrade for me. I take in the simple things. GPD, hope God watches over you. I send money so you can buy a couple of gallons of gas from Mr. T. And yes, a couple of gallons. A couple of gallons. That's it. It's I think it was the Stone Toss the other day. Y'all probably seen that Stone Toss comic the other day. It's like, we're sanctioning Russia. And the guy standing there putting gas in his tank with the gas prices behind him. He's like, Russia? It's like, our own government, they're sanctioning us. Dear Grandpa Dan, hope this finds you well. We have had several liberals who love Biden that now all of a sudden seem to want our help. I ignore them. Bad planning on their part. Everyone wants to party and have fun. And then they want everybody, other people to support them or help them. I have a friend that told me once I should kick my kids out of the house and never help your children, only your friends. I just thought it was funny. I'm amused how we went from the Fauci COVID to Russia so quickly and how fast people just repeat what they hear. And they think they know science and now world politics. They all post it is good to pay so much for gas as we need electric cars. And clearly they know nothing about energy. Love your shows. Keep up the good work. Stay strong. Hope you are up and around soon. Praying for you, Debbie. And yeah, thank you very much. It is appreciated. And you know, with that, you know, you're talking about this. It's not just a matter of people that just naively didn't see it coming. I mean, we're talking about liberals in particular. You're not just talking about people who naively didn't see it coming. These are people who've made they virtue signaled about hating you. You know, I mean, so many of these people, they virtue signal about hating us because we speak the truth while they're all like NPCs with now, like you said, they pulled out the COVID chip and they've put the Ukraine chip in and now they're just babbling about that direct correlation. I talked about that last week. There's this direct correlation between the COVID believers and now the Ukraine believers. So just whatever they told, but these people virtue signaled about hating truth tellers. They virtue signaled about hating us Yeah, you know, and like we should be now ready to run and help them. I love the line there about, you know, you should kick your kids out and not help your children. Own your friends. That happens to be self-serving. In other words, me. When I read that part, I thought of Jesus, you know, when the Samaritan woman was begging him to help her out. And he's like, no, why should I take, you know, food away from the children and give it to the dogs? I was thinking of that verse. It just perfectly applies right there in more ways than one. That's your little nugget. That's your nugget for this week. Think about how that applies, how Jesus saying that to that person, how that applied, and how the Samaritan woman's attitude was different from these people. Anyway, that gets us through the listener supporter mailbag this week. Always good to hear from you. Always like the back and forth, the feel of the back and forth with you, the listeners. That's another one of the things I think that sets this show apart. You know, the lies and BS, I'm like a little over a month, around a month into this Ukraine thing, and I'm already wore out of it. I'm wore out of it like I got wore out from the COVID. You know, it's like the amount of lies. You know, it's like the amount of lies they inundate it with us. It fatigues your mind, you know. It's just because they just bald-faced lie about like everything. And it's things that like 2 minutes of research, just 2 minutes of looking up online, and you can see more or less figure out what the truth is. And they just bald-faced lie. You know, this is like, oh, Putin's doing this. Why? Because he's evil. Well, I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. I'm tired of it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it. It's just 24/7. I will say this, though. I saw something funny the other day. You know, one of the narratives being pushed right now is, boy, Russia is really cracking down on any dissent. Look, they're arresting because we don't do this in the democracy in the West. They're arresting protesters. They're arresting protesters. They're cracking down so hard. They're arresting protesters. Arresting protesters. Anybody protests in Russia, they're being locked down. They're being cracked down on. Well, if they're cracking down so hard, how come there's pictures? How come there's media people or whatever right there taking pictures of the protest being cracked down on? I would think if they were really cracking down, you wouldn't be taking no pictures so that the U.S. media could be airing it on TV. They're cracking down so hard. We have these pictures to prove they're cracking down so hard. Doesn't even make any sense. I tell you, it just... We used to get better level, just better, higher tier BS than we get to than what we get now. I'm not gonna go on about it, but I did think it was funny. They cracking down on these protests because we definitely haven't seen that around here. Have we? Talking about things like protesting and our values that we don't seem to have anymore. And this really, it does, it confuses people. You know, people are confused. They're like, we got our constitutional right. How come they just ignore that? All of these concepts, free speech, peaceful protester. You know, you see, they championed these things when it worked to their benefit. You know, they championed, but now that it doesn't work to their benefit. I mean, I get it. People want to go out on the street and they want to protest. They want to make their voices heard. And that's fine. You know, look, I'm not downing on it. I just, whatever. If that makes you feel better, fine. But understand that beyond it makes you feel better, it's not going to change anything. They don't care. We saw that with the trucker protest in Canada. This was just the mask came off moment. You know, and understand, they don't care. They don't care that everybody is online pointing at this and going, well, these are peaceful protesters and you're brutally breaking up the protest. Don't they have a right to free speech? They're peacefully protesting. They don't care. I mean, again, if you're joining a peaceful protest and, you know, just because you got a vent, you know, and it makes you feel better, that's fine. But you shouldn't be under any illusions that's going to change anything. I mean, you're not going to change anything with that. They're going to do what they're going to do. I mean, at what point in time Has peaceful protest ever actually changed anything? Except when they were being done in the name of promoting the cause of liberalism. Promoting the cause of Western liberalism. Then magically it worked. You notice that? Magic during the civil rights movement, it magically would work. Well, but when you do peaceful protests for, you know, traditional values and sanity and common sense and your own right to free speech and what's supposed to be guaranteed in the Constitution, all of a sudden doesn't work anymore, does it? It's just like you're hitting a brick wall. Amazing how that works, isn't it? It just doesn't work. Doesn't work. Voting. You notice they're warming up. I don't know if y'all noticed. And I don't even remember if I might have brought it up on last week's show. If I did, I apologize for being a rerun. But they're obviously warming up Romney for the guy. Romney. We're going to get Mitt Romney again. That's going to be your keep voting. Voting is not going to change nothing. No, I'm sorry. It ain't. It ain't. If you're coming out against the democracy. No, I'm speaking the truth. I could almost guarantee you're going to get Mitt Romney for your presidential nominee for Team R next time around. They're grooming him back up. They've got him on all the TV shows. It doesn't matter. If you're sitting there saying they can't do that, nobody likes that guy. Nobody liked John McCain either. You couldn't find anybody that liked that guy. And I would almost double down my bet and say you're going to get Liz Cheney for the vice president. Romney Cheney, the ticket that nobody wants and nobody asked for, but I would almost be willing to bet that you're going to get it because it's the democracy. It's who we are. It's our values. In the democracy, you don't get the people you would like to have. You get the people that are chosen for you, and then you get to choose between those two. You're going to get to choose between those two choices. You're not going to peacefully protest and change anything. You're not going to vote and change anything. And to make it clear, you're not going to do some violent uprising and change things either. I mean, that's really not realistic. It's not. You're not going to. But don't worry. There is going to be violence, by the way. You're not going to violently bring down the government. But when the government collapses, when the social order, which is coming down right now, when it disintegrates, you are going to see violent outbreaks. I mean, that is that's not like a big pronouncement. I mean, you look around and see that's where we're headed. And the more they get people wound up tight and the more they get people like with this, I don't know, like hyper antagonism. I mean, they're just hyper antagonistic towards one another. You know, I mean, really. No, I mean, really, you've got different groups of people and, you know, it's fine that people disagree, but things are way above just, man, those people are stupid. I disagree with them. We are at the point where people are, you know, one group is dehumanizing the other group and don't want to even think of them as being human beings. And people wrapped up, they've been wound up tight over the COVID nonsense. Now they're wound up tight over the Ukraine nonsense. When all of that comes crashing down, all of that is coming unwound. And it's going to get violent. There's going to be violence. A lot of violence. It's going to be really, really bad. But it will be as a result of, it isn't going to be what causes the system to come down. No, you're going to see the violence as a result of when all of this nonsense comes unwound. And sadly, it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be fun for anybody. Everybody thinks it's going to be fun. You know, you're living in you're almost in as big a fantasy world as the Reddit brigades that thought they were going to go to Ukraine and it was going to be like playing Call of Duty. If you think this is going to be a fun experience when this comes down, I mean, it needs to collapse. You know, it's a evil, wicked world order. It does need to collapse, and hopefully something better will come out of the other end. But in the medium term, it's not going to be fun. It's going to be pretty awful, quite honestly. Honestly, the best thing you can do, stay grounded, keep your sanity. This is why I do, one of the reasons I always say it, one of the reasons I do this show is to keep you sane, you know, because they're bombarding, you're bombarded with lies all the time and insanity. We're just living in constant chaos and sanity. Don't get nuts. Don't get crazy. It's the rest of the world that's crazy. You know, we try to stay sane. You know, what matters is the people around you, relationships you form, You know, these are the things that keep you grounded. You know, these are the things that are going to help keep it together and get you through hard times. You know, people you form relationships with. As the clown world society comes down on itself, as it collapses on itself, you know, these are the things. These are the things that are going to keep you going, help you keep it together. Talking about I mentioned the Reddit brigades earlier. Isn't that the silliest thing in the world? We want volunteers, and you have these people, and they volunteered. Yeah, they volunteer to go over into a war zone, onto the side that's losing, by the way. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's a mop-up operation. You're going to go over there, and you can put on some fatigues and LARP for a while and say, I'm a Ukrainian war veteran or something. They're asking for volunteers for the losing side. By the way, you know, you have to remember the media keeps saying that the government, the media keeps trying to act like Ukraine is winning. But if they're winning, why are they desperately calling for volunteers? Why are they desperate? But you have these people, and they think that this is, they're taking their virtue signaling IRL, you know? I mean, they're taking their virtue signaling IRL, and they think that this is going to be like some kind of, I don't know. I read a deal here a while back, and it's like, you know, in the West, you have this mindset of so many people, not just the government, but you have this mindset among people like whatever they put on social media, you know, and whatever they put online, you know, they create this new reality by their words, you know. Putin's getting wrecked on social media right now. Boy, nobody likes him. Everybody's got Ukrainian flag profile pics. He's losing. Even though in reality, I mean, obviously they're winning. They're on the winning side. You got these people, they think it becomes reality, and they go over there, and then they get wrecked, you know. It's like, oh my gosh, we didn't even get to go out there, and then missiles fell on us. Yeah, that's what happens when you're on the losing side. That's what wars are about. Why would you volunteer to go? Why would you volunteer? How do people have the illusion that their government loves them? You know, well, you have the U.S. government saying, yeah, well, any Americans that want to go over there, we got no problem with that. These are the same people that said that we all had to wear masks, that you should all wear a mask, that you should all, you know, stay locked in your house and close your business, and you weren't allowed to do this and that and everything else because your lives are so precious to the government. They didn't want you to catch the deadly doom virus and die. Now the same government is like, well, if you want to go over to a war zone with no military training and without a clue and go get your shit blown up, we're good with it. We're not going to ask any questions about it. Let that sink in. We have to do the COVID. We have to destroy our economy, because if we don't do that, one life could be lost. If we can save one life. Yeah, we are so concerned about the health and well-being of the people that we're willing to destroy your livelihood and try to micro-control you and train you to wear a mask. Because we're worried about your health. What's that? You want to go with no military training and horrible physical condition and without a clue of what to even do. You want to wander off into a war zone to be cannon fodder and thrown through a war meat grinder and killed and maimed. We're good with it. Go for it. Post those selfies on social media. And when they recycle the COVID thing, all these idiots that didn't go over there, they'll go right back into it. The government's just trying to keep us healthy. They're just trying to keep us safe because they care about us. People really are NPCs. I'm sorry, they are. I have a hard time. I have a hard time caring about people. I do. I don't mean to sound, you know, that sounds worse than it is, you know? I try to have sympathy for my fellow people, you know, for my fellow man. I try to have sympathy for my fellow man and to think, you know, well, you know, people just don't understand. They're just misguided. I don't have any illusions anymore, you know. Used to be like other people. We're going to wake people up, you know. We're going to get this truth out here. We're going to wake people up. I don't do that anymore. What I do is not waking people up. I gave up on that. I gave up on that in the COVID thing. That's done. We're sitting around here visiting to reassure each other that, no, you're not crazy. Don't get full of despair. It's not you. It's the rest of the world. That's all we're doing here. Because these people are stupid. I'm sorry. The NPC meme is totally true. They're programmed. They're bots. I think most people are. I think they're bots. It's just whatever they're told, no matter how nonsensical, whatever they're told, that's what they believe. When the world comes crashing down around these people, am I supposed to feel sorry for them? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm kind of in the, you get what you deserve. I'm exasperated. I'm not going to wake anybody. These people can't be woke up. I don't think they're capable of quote unquote waking up. They're just bots. Like I said, it's like that meme where they open the NPC's head and they pull out the COVID chip and they put the Ukraine chip in and shut it. And now they're back. They're programmed onto that. You're not going to wake anybody like that up. They're bots. They're just programmed. Now this comes, I think this comes back to, as I've said before, we're not designed for mass media. We're not designed for that. That's not what we're designed for. And I think that's part of it. But I mean, regardless, that's the world we live in. The people are just incapable. They're just whatever they're told, they'll comply. Gotta comply. Gotta go along with it, no matter how absurd it is. I tried to sit here. I thought I was going to come up with like a clever analogy of some absurd thing the government could demand and that they would go along with it. But it wouldn't matter because it literally whatever the government, and it doesn't matter if it changes day by day. The mask thing's a perfect example. Masks don't make a difference. Well, they do make a difference, but you have to wear the special mask. Well, there aren't enough. Don't worry about the special mask. Just put this jock strap over your face. It'll work. Put a pair of panties on your head. Put a pair of panties on your head and walk around like that. It'll stop the spread of the deadly virus. Well, now maybe you can take the panties off of your head. Well, now you got to wear the special mask. Now we think we've got enough stockpile of special masks. Now you're gonna have to wear the special mask because the panties or the jock strap over your head doesn't work. I mean, it just changes, and they all just go along with it. You know, just go along with it. Doesn't matter that we're wrecking our economy. You see these people. You know, as the listener supporter wrote in. You know, drive an electric car, and you know, it is. Anything that makes people think that's makes them a good person, a good thinker, you know, ultimate virtue signaling. virtue signaling is they're a good person equals they're somehow winning. And this goes back to this notion that people have that somehow things like this empty nonsense on the internet somehow affects reality around them, but it doesn't. At some point in time, they can insulate themselves from reality to a certain extent. You know, I mean, if you live in an apartment in the city and your job is close enough that you just ride a bicycle to your job, you can sit here and virtue signal about you don't care how much gas gets expensive, how much fuel gets expensive, because you see, it's worth it because you have a clear conscience because you're supporting the freedom and the democracy and the gay anal in Ukraine. But you see, the reality of everything travels on a truck is going to come crashing down on your world. When you go down to the store to buy your soy-based products and they have quadrupled in price and you can't afford your soy-based products any longer. You see, the reality, and you're sitting there going, why? I can't get my soy fix. Why can't I get my soy fix? You can't. No. You know, why is it so expensive? It won't fit in my budget. Because everything travels on a truck, you know, your reality you created where none of that matters because you ride a bicycle, reality always winds up re-exerting itself. It's the same thing with the Ukraine thing. The media is trying to basically claim that Ukraine is winning. And they can claim that all they want to, but it isn't going to change reality. At some point in time, it will be undeniable, although I guess they can just keep denying it in the media. It's like when Russia more or less totally occupies the entire country and installs a new government, the U.S. media will still be talking about Ukraine is winning. The Russians are on. They're backpedaling. Boy, they're just really losing. It's like creating this fake reality will re-exert itself. It does. It re-exerts itself. It's going to happen. At some point in time, as they keep trying to claim that Ukraine is somehow winning, reality re-exerts itself, and it won't be deniable anymore. Like I say, they'll probably keep denying it. I guess morons will keep would just keep believing Zelensky is the government in exile. Well, he's in exile. That means he's not the government. It's like how Taiwan LARPs like they're the real government of China. And people, a lot of people don't realize that. See, Taiwan doesn't claim to be an independent country. Morons think that. They think Taiwan is an independent. They should be an independent front country from China. You don't understand. That ain't what Taiwan claims to be. Taiwan claims to be the rightful government of China. You see, they claim that they should be the ones ruling the mainland. They're still hung over from getting beaten by Mao and the CCP. We were there. They had to flee to the little island. The U.S.-backed bunch had to flee to the little island. Now they sit there and they're like, well, we're the true government of China. Even though reality flies in that face, you're on a little island. China could retake you in a day if they wanted to. You know, they just... They want the people there. That's their people. They're Chinese. They're not Taiwanese. There's no such thing. They're Chinese people that are on the island. That's all they are. The U.S.-backed Chinese fled to the little island when they lost. And they're in denial. They're in denial. They sit there. We're the rightful government of China here on our little island. It's silly. Yes, like it's as though the people in China, in mainland China, are out, you know, protesting, just wishing we could get rid of all of this prosperity we have and replace the CCP with the gay anal government of Taiwan. No, there's no reality there. No reality. It's the Taiwanese are not ruling the mainland of China. And when Zelensky's hiding in Poland or Israel or wherever the hell he sets up his government in exile, he's not going to be the government of Ukraine. Whoever's running the government in Ukraine will be the government of Ukraine. You can put what you want to on social media. You can make press announcements from authority figures, all you want to, but the reality reexerts itself. You lost. This guy lost. Denial of reality never brings about, you know, it never brings about a good outcome, you know? I mean, it doesn't. It doesn't bring about the good outcome. Hey, look at this. I said I wasn't going to go on about the Ukraine thing. And here I keep getting sucked. Keep getting sucked back into it. But I mean, seriously, because the narrative is, you know, what is the narrative in the U.S. media? Why did Russia invade Ukraine? Well, mostly the narrative is they've settled on is Putin is doing it. For a while, it was he wants to reestablish the Soviet Union. Well, he kind of have slipped off of that. Now we're just going with the generic because he's evil. Because he's evil and he's mean and he doesn't like those people. That's pretty much it. There are no other reasons. No other reasons. You go back and people in the U.S., you know, people in the know, even people I don't like. You know, I mean, years ago, Henry Kissinger, he said, you know, basically something along the lines of, you know, if NATO keeps expanding eastward at some point in time, this is going to cause a conflict with Russia. Okay. I mean, people that were considered experts years ago, in years past, that were waving red flags after the Soviet Union come down and saying, look, if you expand NATO eastward, at some point in time, you're going to wind up in a conflict with Russia. Well, here we are. What has happened? Reality reexerted itself. See, this was scary. It's one thing when NPCs live in a world where they deny reality, but we live in a world where governments and people that actually are in charge and hold a certain amount of power, they don't live in reality. We can just keep expanding NATO eastward. And when Russia complains about it, we'll just say, how dare you? Obviously, NATO is a peaceful, defensive organization. Even though we bombed Yugoslavia into oblivion, and we took part in invading other countries, you know, bombing other countries that didn't have anything to do with Europe at all. We're purely defensive. And look, we all know, we don't deny reality on this show. NATO is the U.S. Whether something got classified as a NATO operation or not, I mean, it's always the U.S. If you remove the U.S. from NATO, NATO doesn't exist. It would be an absolute joke. Whatever, so you can say whatever military action the U.S. has taken, you can go ahead and attach that to NATO because that is NATO. You're going to have the U.S. bombs Libya, attacks Syria, attacks whatever country in the Middle East. It doesn't matter. You know, and you got the U.S. and right there with them, you got Britain, you know, just kissing their ass with their head up their ass, following them along, LARPing like they're still an empire. LARPing is this, the British Empire, is it a joke because it doesn't exist anymore? They're in denial. You know, you become a joke when you just deny reality. Britain is a joke because they're like LARPing like they're still important. You're an island. Japan. Look, I don't have anything against British, British people, whether they be Welsh, English, whatever. Look, I got nothing against y'all. Y'all cool. Yeah, I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm speaking reality. Japan is a more important island in the world scheme of things than you are. Because at least Japan really produces some things. You know, they produce some things. What's important about Britain? London and the financial markets. It's funny to see like an entire like nation or whatever, you know, like in denial of reality. Britain is in denial that they think they're still running around as though they're important and nobody cares. Everybody knows all they do is run around and like, you know, hang off of the back of the U.S. and wave their hand like, oh, yeah, so you're afraid. You think the U.S. is bad news? Look who's here, too. That's right. Great Britain. And it's like everybody's laughing. I remember when the Libya thing started and they showed up and they started launching all these missiles. And Britain, of course, showed up with their head up the U.S.'s ass. And Britain showed up and joined in. Me too. I'm going to launch missiles into Libya too for freedom and democracy, U.S. I'm just like you, see? And only like after the first night they had to leave because they ran out of ordnance. They're like, well, we're out now. We ain't got no missiles. This is a serious empire, huh? A serious world power. It's a joke. It's a joke. Japan's more important. If you can talk about island nations, Japan is more important than Britain. That's just a hard reality. I ruffle your feathers all I want to. I got no ill will. Got no, I'm not being hating. I'm not hating on the Brit kin here. But that's reality. You're not important as a nation. You're not important as great Britain. There's nothing great about you. You're a joke. I'm sorry. It's just like if you love somebody, you tell them, you know, hey, you know, your drug habit isn't making your life better. And they're going to be mad at you, but that's the truth. Bringing the truth. Great Britain ain't great. There ain't nothing great about you. You're a joke. You're not even really hardly a country anymore. Nobody in the world is afraid of Great Britain, okay? We shall sail the mighty British Navy into your waters as soon as we can get a few ships up and running. We will send our army of diversity to you, and you bloody well know not to mess with Britain. It's a joke. It's funny watching all these people run and stuff, and they're detached, you know, detached from reality. But you watch other nations and they're not detached from reality, and it runs in contrast. And because these people are detached from reality, because as this empire is coming down, yeah, look, they're very dangerous. In fact, they're more dangerous now than they've probably ever been because it is in the process of collapsing. A nation that has this level of internal strife that the U.S. does is not a nation that can, that is strong. And people understand that. They understand it instinctively. And so this is an empire in decline. You know, people point to the Afghanistan surrender and withdrawal. But, I mean, that's really just kind of a symptom, you know. I mean, everybody knows. And it becomes more apparent every day. Of course, they become more shrill. And like I say, they're dangerous. They're still powerful, plenty powerful to be dangerous. They're mostly a danger at this point to us, to the people that are stuck here, living here. You know, because at some point, I do believe when it becomes unavoidable, undeniable, that they're unable to effectively lash out at the rest of the world, then these people are going to turn inward and begin lashing out at the population. We've lost this standing, and it's you people's fault. Again, does anybody have the illusion that this government likes us? They forget cares about us and our health. Do you even feel as though this government, any aspect of it, likes you at all? Or do you feel like they hate you? They hate you. They're really just looking for some way if they could make you go away. They can tolerate you if you're an NPC to an extent. Otherwise, if they could just make you go away, they would be good with that. They're dangerous. They're going to lash out. at the domestic population. But anyway, it's funny to see like the rest of the world that isn't living in a delusion. You know, you got like they go down after trying to overthrow the Venezuelan government, get caught sending a mercenary team trying to assassinate the guy down there. And then they go down there and they're like, hey, bro, how about hooking me up with some more oil? And they're like, oh, no. Saudi Arabia is already reading the handwriting on the wall. This is handwriting on the wall. The media doesn't talk about it, of course. But I mean, the handwriting on the wall, Saudi's already looking at, like, you know, not picking up the call. You know, we saw that story a couple of weeks back. You know, Joe Brandon allegedly tried to call the Saudi prince, you know, say, hey, turn on the oil, keep the prices down for us. And it's like he wouldn't take a call. What did that look like? Was it like his secretary was like, oh, I'm sorry, the prince is not, you know, he's not available right now. I just picture Biden there with a confused look on speakerphone, you know, because old people got to use speakerphone. They don't hold the phone up to they got to use that speakerphone. And he's like, hello, hello, Prince, are you there, Prince? And it's like, you just getting that, you know, you've reached the automated voice message system. After the beep, leave your message. That's all he got bumped to voicemail. And it wasn't like, you know, Prince Solomon was on like... It ain't like he was on another call and it rang out. It was like two rings and he got bumped. Biden got bumped to voicemail. Or who knows, maybe the crown prince had like a landline, you know, and like Biden called and it's like, you know, if you're calling for the crown prince, please remain on hold. And it is just like, you know, I can imagine what hold music sounds like when you're calling the Saudi royal family, some like Middle Eastern instrumental, you know, and Biden's sitting there waiting, you know, and then it quits. And he's like, oh, they're picking up. They knew it's president of the United States. They better pick up. And it's like, thank you for your call. Your patience is very much appreciated. The crown prince will be with you momentarily. Please remain on the line. And then like after an hour and a half, he gave up. He had to hang up. The rest of the world is living in reality. They get it. This thing is, they're already starting to hedge their bets the other direction. They're trying to keep one foot here and one foot there because, like I say, the U.S. is still a dangerous, very dangerous entity right now. But they see where it's headed. They don't want to be strapped to that sinking ship. You know, they want to be ready to go ahead and just drop that other foot over into the next thing. That's why they're talking about things that would be unthinkable just a few years ago. Well, we could trade oil in the Chinese currency instead. I can tell you, if 20 years ago, Saudi Arabia said they were going to start trading oil in other currencies, there would have been bombs falling right like then. Everybody, the rest of the world, they're in reality. And the reality is re-exerting itself. The U.S. is desperately running around pretending like it's not happening, that this whole thing isn't collapsing on itself. But the rest of the world sees where it's headed. They're trying to play along long enough because it's dangerous right now. It's still powerful and dangerous, but they see that it's coming in on it. So it's imploding on itself. It's collapsing on itself. It's in the process of coming apart. And they're trying to go ahead and hedge their bets so they're ready to move in another direction when this thing goes down. And that's the reality. And it's inevitable that at some point, reality will re-exert itself. We got to get into the Christian-specific segment. The show's going to probably wind up running along. Oh, well, just more fun, right? You know, just more extra. Just like bonus content and free of charge. Anyway, so yeah, you know, like I say, if you're new, stick around. Don't just turn it off and say, I don't want to hear no Christian stuff. I think you'll like it. It'd be something special. Anyway, as I say every week, you know what to do. Let's go. Get in there and fill those pews. Let's get into this week's Christian-specific segment here at the Parish of the Patriots. So as we settle in and get cozy this week, we're going to get back into reading in our Bible, but we're gonna cover a little short blurb of Bible verse here. And we're going to kind of get back in the format of reading a little and stopping and discussing it. I don't know if we have enough time, may get into just some general, back to kind of like what we do in the rest of the show, just a general discussion of the world around us, but from the Christian perspective. I don't know. We'll see how long it takes to go through this, but I think we'll have a good discussion this week. We're going to be looking in the book of Mark. We're going to be looking at chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. As usual, we kind of keep it brief. We're not going to try to read like an entire book or something. So let's just go ahead and get off into that. We're going to be, like I said, we're going to start with verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, and his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I like this verse because there's a sense of now to it. You notice he doesn't say, when you get everything in order, when you get everything, you know, when you get your stuff together, you know, get around to it. Come around, follow me. It's so easy to fall into that trap. You know, I'll get more loyal. I'll get more serious about following the Lord when I get my act together. I'm still pretty screwed up. God isn't going to want me like I am right now. I got to get, you know, these things that I'm struggling with. I got to get that fixed first. He says, take up your cross and follow him. Take up your cross. What does that mean? It means you got to bring everything. You're bringing everything, all the crap you've been dealing with, whatever that may be, whatever's in your head, things you're struggling with. You got to pick all that up and come now. You notice that example is set whenever Jesus would encounter the disciples. He walks up on these guys, you know, and they just got in from fishing. And he just walks up and like cold sells them. You know, he's like, well, you know, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Come follow me. And like they have to drop everything and they follow him right there. Not like, well, we're going to go home first and let us go ahead and, you know, get washed up. And but let's discuss this. What exactly does following you entail? What do you want us to do, Jesus? You know, he's like walks up on this guys out of the blue and he's like, yep, come on, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Okay, we're in. Let's go. Where to, Lord? Not get your stuff together. You're taking up your cross. Well, that means you're taking up your burdens. If you wait around till you get your life perfectly in order, and then I'm going to be serious about following Jesus, you ain't never going to follow Jesus. You're never going to have it together. Verse 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. So, whosoever will, you know, try to save your life, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. What does that mean? Well, if you're focused on if you define your life as this little bit of time that you spend here on this earth, that is your focus, then you're worldly. I mean, if your life is focused on this world, that is your focus. My life is this world. Then you're going to lose your life because you're not going to spend any time maturing spiritually. You'll be of no use. You're like the seed that didn't hatch. You're like the bullet that didn't fire. You're just a dud. Now, I want to focus on this next part. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now, yeah, you can read this literally. You know, whosoever shall lose his life, like if you were to be executed for the sake of the gospel. Now, we're not back to that yet. We're probably honestly a lot closer to sliding back to that that sort of standard than what we want to believe. But I mean, while, yeah, I that would apply, I don't think it necessarily also has to be thought of in a literal sense. It's one of those things that could mean that literally. Yes. I mean, if like the early apostle, if you get executed for the sake of the name of Jesus, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, for this, you're going to attain this life. But also, if you put aside this life, think of it in this term. Do you look at the people? You look at the quote-unquote elite that run so much of the world around us. Look at them. I mean, they've got all this money. They've got all of this power. They have all of this influence. They have all of this self-importance. They have all of that. Imagine if you were willing to be them. And think of the things that entails, or probably entails. I guess we'd just have to guess because we're not them. Praise God. Think of the thing. You've got all of this wealth and power. When the average person looks at one of these elites, they say, man, these people, they have all of the, they have more money than they could ever spend. They could have more money than they could spend, or any of their, you know, their, if they have any family after them, could ever spend. Have all of this power. I mean, people get out of the way. You know, governments move on their word. They have all of this power. But deep down inside, you know they're going to hell, right? I mean, if you were, it's possible to think that if you were willing to do the things that they have done and are willing to do, to have those things, to have that power, if you were willing to say, I don't know, do a ritualist, I'm not saying they do this, don't want to be accused of making up stuff against people, but it's not hard to imagine that it is possible. If you're willing to do like a ritualistic child sacrifice to Satan in order to have money and power, you could theoretically be one of the elites. Now, is it worth that? Everybody would be looking at you in awe as you wear your strange-looking clothes that literally looks like you just get, they dress up like Klaus Schwab. You sent the pictures of him. He looks like he just walked out from literally overseeing a satanic ritualistic child sacrifice. You know, how do you like my outfit? I call it the priest of Satan. But, you know, everybody could be looking at you. Perhaps if you were willing to do the things that those people are willing to do, would you, if you were offered that? You can have this money and power, but you're going to have to be willing to do these things. See, if your answer is no, if you were theoretically to be asked to do those things, if your answer to that is no, then you are, in a way, losing your life or what it could potentially, any benefits you could potentially have in this world, for the sake of the name of the Lord, for the sake of the truth. Now, I used kind of a really like over the top example, but you can scale that back, and it's the same thing. If it would profit you to steal from somebody, you know, and nobody's going to find out, it would profit you to steal something from somebody, and nobody's going to find it. You could get away with it. The only thing standing between you and profiting from stealing from somebody is your own decision, whether or not you were going to do that. Now, are you going to deny that? You would benefit. You would have more money, and hey, right in the immediate term, you would benefit from that. Would you do it? If the answer to that is no, well, why then? I mean, why wouldn't you? This life is here. You better take what you can get, right? But if the answer to that is no, then why? Well, because hopefully at least you instinctively know that it's something you don't want to do. Not just like, oh, I really want to do it, but I guess I won't. No, instinctively, you know that's something you don't want to do. For what shall it profit? Jesus is about to break this down a lot better than I just did, of course, not unsurprisingly. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You look at these elites, and they wield all this power, and they have all this money, and they obviously are going to extreme measures to stay alive. I'm amazed at these people. You know, I mean, how old is George Soros? Is that guy like 180? I mean, you know they're doing some kind of weird experimental crap to stay alive. Look at these people. They're all old and evil ass. They are. They're old and evil looking. They didn't look evil. You know, I believe that people's faces do tell you a lot. They try to tell you, no, don't judge a book by its color. I think that's bullshit. You can tell a lot by just looking at people's faces. You say, well, you don't know Klaus Schwab. You don't know George Soros. They might be really good people. No, I can look at these people and tell by the way their faces look. They're evil. They have an evil look about them. I mean, it is. You know, tell me I'm wrong. You don't know, then you're an idiot, because you're going to wander in somewhere, see somebody that has an evil, evil look on their face, and you're going to go, I'm going to sit alone in this room with this person and nothing bad will happen. No, your instincts are there for a reason. That's what's kept people alive this whole time on earth, is our instincts say, oh, this is a bad situation, before your brain And see, that's something God has given you to as an instinct to survive, because, you know, you might walk into a situation and by the time you logically work out, why is this a dangerous situation? It's too late. You done got your head bashed in. You done got your throat cut. You done got, you laying there dying because you sitting there working out. Why is this an evil situation? See this, see these in news stories where people wander off into something and they get killed or whatever. And you say, wow, that's bad. And then you read the story about how they went into that situation in the first place. And you're like, well, they were really stupid. You know, something should have been a warning alarm here. Yeah. That's why you have instinct, because you wouldn't survive. Because there are times when you wander into a situation, and by the time you logically figure it out, it's too late. The danger's upon you. The danger's upon you. You got to have that instinct. You walk into a room, and you walk into this room, and there's somebody in there. And you take a look at them, and your instinct kicks in and says, this guy's bad news. This guy looks evil. Something's wrong. Your instinct, your gut is telling you, get out of here. You turn right around, act like you forgot something, whatever the case may be, get out of here. People now have gotten so far removed from God's natural order that they deny these things. They'll walk in, they'll see some guy that all but has a sign hanging around his neck that says, I am an evil person and I am fixing to wreck your life. And they'll stay because they tell themselves, oh, that instinct, why would I think that about that person? He could be very nice. You see, Christian people go and get themselves in dumbass situations and wind up getting killed and have horrible things done to them. And you say, oh my gosh, it's a Christian brother and sister. What happened to, oh, that's a horrible thing. Then you read the situation and you're like, how is a Christian brother or sister, how are they that damn stupid? Because they want to deny the instincts that God himself has given us as a part of the natural order. And they want to deny that because they sat through so many sermons about don't judge a book by its cover. Nothing about that in the Bible. Don't judge a book by its cover. And Jesus loves everybody. And if you have a, you know, negative reaction about being in the room with somebody, you're not loving Jesus enough, or some other nonsense. They walk into a situation, their instinct kicks in, says, get out of here. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's not right about this situation. Your brain has picked up on little subconscious clues, little hints. The spatters of blood on the little corner of the wall there. Your conscious hadn't had a chance to process that. Your subconscious picked that up along with some other, and the look in this guy's eyes and the fact that something smells not quite right in here. Your conscious don't have time to work through that. Your subconscious is saying, go, 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 go. It's go now or you're going to die. Something bad is going to happen. And now everybody's so far removed from that, they just turn that off. Wait, maybe I should... Why do I feel that way? Oh my gosh, does this mean I'm a bad person? I'm going to stay and get my brains bashed in and my throat cut. Didn't escape a bad situation. God gave you the instinct. Use it. Don't even remember what we were talking about now. I got off on such a tangent there. Ah, yes, our elites. They look evil. I don't have to know what these people do. You know, people say, well, they probably do ritualistic child sacrifice for Satan. They very, very well. But whether they do or not is largely irrelevant. Why? Because I can look at these people's faces. You look at them. Look at the pictures of them. They're evil. When you look in the faces of evil people, you know, now granted, sometimes they dress it up. I've seen them. They dress it up with a smile. They got the best smile. They got the manicured hair. And they do their best human imitation. Where they pretend they're human like you, and they'll sit there. You see this in politicians. They'll sit there and smile and ha ha. But they're evil. Your instinct tell you that guy's evil. You know, that guy'd sell your life down the river if it would gain him a quarter. Oh, where are we at? Yeah, let's go ahead. Verse 36. And for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? As I was starting to say before I got off on that tangent, you look at these people. Look, no matter how long they drag it out, and like I said, obviously they're doing something to keep living. they are going to die. They're in denial of that. They apparently think they're going to create some kind of, like, their consciousness will stay alive in a computer or some other bullshit. They're not. They're going to die. And they are going to hell. And people say that. People say that, and they don't really comprehend how bad that is, how serious that is. No matter how bad your life is on this world, the badness is going to end. Why? Well, it's going to end one of two ways. A, most of the time, whatever bad you're going through, it's a temporary thing, and things will look up. They will get better. But B, at some point, you're going to die, and it will be over then. But the point is, there's always hope. You know, there's always hope, because at some point, whatever you're going through in this life, whatever suffering, no matter how shitty it is, you're going to die, and it will be over. For sure. It's like if you're flying in an airplane and you're worried about the landing, you know, you're worried about getting back down on the ground. Don't worry about that. You are going to land. Now, whether or not you walk out of the wreckage or just walk down the little steps or whatever, walk out the little ramp or whatever, that's the question. But don't worry. The plane is going to land. That is not going to be an issue. You are virtually guaranteed the plane will land. You're just hoping it's on the wheels rolling along to a stop and you get out. Not, you know, in a smoldering pile of rubble. The point is, this life will end. And so whatever hardships, whatever, that is going to come to an end. You see, eternity is not just, you know, like we think of time right now dragging on, like, you know, forever, you know. And I guess I beat this horse to death, but it's the absence of time. It's not even like, oh, this is taking forever. Oh, this is just going on and on. No, it means there's literally no end to it, because time, as we know it, doesn't exist. That is the state that you are in. You are in the eternal state of hell, and there's no hope. It doesn't matter how much you screw up in this life, as long as you're alive and you're breathing, you have hope, because you can turn to Jesus. God has given you the opportunity to repent and accept Christ as faith. This is your time to do that. Once you're in hell, there's no, oh, I realize I really screwed up, God. Let me out of here. You see, in hell, there's no hope. There is no hope for salvation. It doesn't matter how much you cry out and say, I'm sorry. It's a done deal. Your opportunities are all burned up. You've burned through all of them, and now you're getting burned through. It's just utter, it's unimaginable. It's going to depress everybody talking about hell. It's unimaginable despair that can't be comprehended, because there is no escape of it. There's no beginning or end of it. You're just there. There is no, well, if I do this, it'll end. Or with this amount of days or years or months or centuries or millennia, it'll finally be over and I'll be out of here. There is no. It is the utter despair. It is utter absence of any sort of hope. And we'll go ahead and move into verse 37. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is your soul worth? What is your soul worth in comparison to worldly goods? And this kind of touches back what we've already talked about. We won't spend a lot of time on it. But really, what would you exchange? You know, you always hear the old analogy or whatever of, you know, a deal with the devil. You know, a deal with the devil. What kind of deal will you make with the devil? If you watch movies or something about somebody made a deal with the devil, what's always the theme? When it's time for the devil to cash in, the person always trying to find a way to get out of it. They won't cheat the devil. They won't cheat the devil. You know, what would you give? What would you give? No, seriously, what would you give if Satan showed up to you and said, hey, I really want your soul. It just looks like it would be the perfect decoration in the corner of my living room. What do you take for it? Name your price. What would you give in exchange for your soul? What would you give? Money? Power? You want to be the most well-respected person on the earth? You want to have the most beautiful women around you? You know, you want men to admire you, women to chase after you? What do you want? What do you want in exchange for your soul? What's it going to be that you can gain? What can you gain in this short little time, this temporal realm that we live in that is guaranteed to end? versus the eternity. It's a fool's deal. Doesn't matter what he offers. Understand that. It doesn't matter what the devil offers. It's a fool's deal. Because, you see, whatever he's offering you has an expiration. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm going to get this and I'm going to keep it. You're not. It's you're always renting. You see, the devil doesn't sell you nothing. He just rents it to you because you're in time. If the devil says, hey, in exchange for your soul, I'll give you all of this money. All of this money. I'll make you the ruler of a nation. You'll have the most beautiful women in your harem. You can go the harem route. You can have all these beautiful women. And all of these things will be yours. But he's a liar and a murderer. You always have to remember that. And you're like, I take that deal. But you have to understand, none of that's yours. You didn't get those things. You didn't sell your soul. Because when I was hearing that, say you sell your soul to the devil. You ain't selling nothing. You might sold your soul. You exchanged your soul for a short-term rental agreement. All of those things you would conceivably get from such a deal, you're renting. That money, you're just renting that. The big fancy house, the women, you're renting those things. Because it's going to end. It'll never really be yours. Your time on this earth is going to run out. You can fight it. You can, do infant blood transfusions or whatever weird shit the elite does. You can do all of that. But at some point in time, the rental agreement comes up. And that stuff that you got, the money, the power, all of that you exchanged, the rental agreement comes up and it all goes back to the devil. He didn't give up anything. He didn't give up nothing. You gave up your soul for eternity, for the lack of time. It's his now. Your soul's going to be a corner decoration in the devil's living room. And he didn't give up nothing. Because you know what? While your soul is rotting in hell, the devil got all that stuff back. He never gave up nothing. He got your soul for nothing. What would a man give up in exchange for his soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul's gone? What would you give? Once you're the corner decoration in the devil's living room, it's too late. There's nothing. You don't have anything left to trade the devil to get your soul back. Say, devil, I don't want to be a corner decoration in your living room. What do I got to give you? And he's like, you ain't got nothing to give. Bruh, what? Look, you're basically a lamp on my nightstand. What are you on about? What you got to give me? You got nothing. You made the deal. I gave you the riches and stuff. Yeah, but that stuff's all gone. Yeah, you were just renting. Your dumbass thought you bought it forever. You know life ends. I held up my end of the bargain. Let's close out with verse 38. Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now, something I want to point out real quick here, because I think this is important, because I don't want you don't want to waver in your faith. You don't want to get emotional, waver in your faith. Whoever's ashamed. Whoever therefore should be ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous, ashamed does not equal fear. Okay? Understand that. Ashamed does not equal fear. I mean, if you stand for the word of the Lord and your life is being threatened, if you think of the saints who have literally been executed for the sake of the name of the Lord. Do you think they weren't afraid? I mean, they had confidence, perhaps, knowing that their life is eternal. That is what they're holding to. That is where their hope is. But they were afraid. I mean, somebody fixing to cut your head off, you're not sitting there laughing like, oh, this is great. Ashamed does not mean fearful. Of course, you're going to be persecuted. Of course, you're going to be fearful. When you read about the early church and the apostles would have to, like, you know, take off. You know, there's like a lynch mob forming in town. The Jews had whipped up a lynch mob to come after them. And like, they're going to flee the town. I'm sure they were worried. Doesn't mean they were ashamed of the Lord. Doesn't mean they were ashamed of the gospel. They were fearful, though. They were getting out of town before the lynch mob could kill them. You know, but doesn't mean they weren't ashamed. Now there is something I think to be really cautious of, because again, the Lord isn't someone we follow. This isn't something we follow. The gospel, I guess I should say, is how I'm trying to word this. The gospel is not something like we just follow. The gospel means whenever I'm reading from my Bible, like I'm reading this right now, this is the gospel, and I'm not going to be ashamed of these Bible verses. Let's go ahead and go back to what we just hammer all the time on this show. Jesus is what? The truth. The way, the truth, the life. Center word is truth. The truth. So, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words. Now, when asked who he was, he said he was the way, the truth, and the life. If the truth is that center word here, that's something we got to be really careful about. If you're ashamed of the truth, or do you love the truth? Do you hold to the truth? See, too often we get this idea that they'd be like, do you believe in Jesus? Yes, we're going to persecute you. Doesn't work like that. Satan is the father of lies. He's a murderer. He is the father of lies. He speaks lies. He speaks his own language. This is what Jesus told us. So what does that say? If you're speaking the truth in a sense, even though you may not be talking about, you know, Jesus Christ resurrected and from the dead, and you might just be talking about some other topic. But if you are holding to the truth, then it is, in a sense, a part of the gospel. Does that make sense? Now, all of a sudden, you can see where the persecution comes. You're looking around going, woof, holding to the truth isn't real popular right here in current clown world, is it? You can't have this vision that, well, yeah, if I'm standing on the street corner and I'm holding up my Bible and said, Jesus said, and they come and haul me off, I'm being persecuted for the gospel. You can take comfort in picturing it like that because you know you're not ever going to do that. You know, if you're sitting around in your house by yourself and reading your Bible, the odds of someone kicking in your door and dragging you off or sitting around in your house reading your Bible are almost zero. You're going to get persecuted for that, and you feel nice and cozy here because nobody's going to come haul you off for that. Because we got freedoms, right? But if you stick to the truth in this world of lies, you're going to get you're going to get persecuted. Whatever the latest thing, whatever current thing is that the world is chasing after, if you get caught up in that and start denying the truth, because it's just easier to go along. It's just easier to go ahead and wrap yourself up, and pretty soon you're sucked right in with all the rest of them. You're ashamed of the truth. You risk the Lord being ashamed of you. If you're speaking the truth, regardless of what the truth, what the topic is, and you are facing persecution for that, the truth is connected. If Satan is the father of lies, then the Lord God Almighty is the father of truth, correct? Whatever the topic may be, if you're holding to the truth, then you are speaking the language of God. If you are speaking the truth, you're speaking the language of God. You are closer to God. When you turn on Jen Psaki and she is sitting here uttering just bald-faced lies that you could do 2 seconds of research and know that that is a lie, and they're assaulting you spiritually, mentally with these in-your-face, bald-faced lies, speaking the language of the devil, when you speak the words of truth, you are speaking the language of God. It's a spiritual battle. You always have to keep, that's why I always say, these things you see around us, people are so confused, they're so screwed up, because they don't understand this is a, when you get down to it, okay? When you get down past the, you know, the agendas, when you get past the entities, you know, the corporations, the banks, whoever, when you get down past it, when you get down to the brass tacks of it, this is a spiritual war that has been going on since time, essentially since time was created. And it's still going on now. And you see in the back and forth, you got people that stand and they speak the truth and they hold to the truth. And you got these other people who speak with a megaphone with their bald-faced lies. You got the language of God versus the language of the devil. Nothing's changed. This is a spiritual battle. You have to understand that. When you feel like, almost like when you have to hear these ridiculous lies, and even worse, when you see people running around that just appear to have no brain because they've committed adultery, they've committed idolatry and have bowed down and accepted the bald-faced lie. That's why the lies are ridiculous, because that requires more submission, more loyalty, more worship of the lies. They have incorporated them. They don't question anything. Whatever they're told, no matter, the more absurd, the better the lie, the more they worship their idols. When you see these things and you're confronted with these things, and that negative reaction you feel deep down inside, like this revulsion of these things, that's because you're being assaulted with the language of the devil. And when you speak the truth, they don't like it. They ban you. They shut you down. They threaten you. Why? Because they are revolted by the language of God. At the end of the day, it's always comes back to, it's a spiritual battle that we're engaged in. That is, we are seeing the spiritual realm, the conflicts of the eternal realm being played out in the temporal realm. It's reflected here. So anyway, take heart. I mean, always remember, we're on the winning side of this deal. Okay. We already know how this turns out. We are on the winning team. We're on the winning team. We're on the side of truth. We're on the side of Christ as Christian believers. We always have to remember that, you know, the ultimate outcome of this conflict is decided. We have picked the winning team. So anyway, on that note, hopefully you got something out of it. Like I said, I was going to wander off into some other stuff, but we wound up, we took quite a bit of time on that. And hopefully, like I say, as always, I hope you got something out of it. We're going to wrap up on that note. Thanks again, those of you voluntarily, your voluntary support for the show is very much appreciated. Again, don't be shy, pay those tithes. It makes a big difference for me, and it is a big morale boost. So we're gonna get on out of here. You can catch me on Fridays with the Daily Nationalist with Sven Longshanks, and as always, we'll be back right here on Tuesday for the Parish of the Patriots.